Well, I guess it's because of my business background. I've always kept very careful records of my preaching. And it just works out. This is my third time to be with you, and it's been 8 years in between. And so what I gathered from that is it takes 8 years to get back to the bottom of the barrel of preachers to say, well, let's have Bubba back. So that means the first time was in 2008, and I stayed with Harold Turner over in the little house. And as some of you even remember and said to me this morning, I had to vacate early because of Hurricane Ike that was approaching Houston. And by your grace, you let me leave on Wednesday and go batten down the hatches. 8 years later was because we had to reschedule because my father had passed away. And by your grace, you let me come at a time much better for my family. And that brings us to today. And life changes for all of us. None of us are the same that we were back in 2008. Some have gone to their reward. Some are still serving. Some are now raising their grandkids. But I want you to know what a special privilege it is and an honor for me to be with you again. Because I know I'm going to be with people who love the Lord and love to study the Bible and love to live it out so that people can see Jesus. I hope you're a little intrigued by the theme that I've chosen for our lessons this time. It comes from James, the fifth chapter. I want to start there in our study this morning. I encourage you to open your Bible to James chapter 5. And it's an illustration James uses in this text to prove his point about prayer. So the context starts in verse 13, James 5 and verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of the righteous can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So James is encouraging disciples to pray. Even when the situation seems dire, even when it seems all hope is lost, he said the prayers of righteous people can accomplish great things. As an example, he said, consider Elijah. Elijah prayed, and the God of heaven shut off rain for 3.5 years. I remember several years ago, I was asked to do a wedding for a couple, and the father of the bride was an unbeliever. And so we had come together at the wedding venue, and it was outdoors, and the skies were very ominous, looked like it was going to rain. And the father saw me standing at the front holding my Bible, and he came up to me and said, "Preacher, you got any prayers in there that'll stop this rain?" And I said, "Well, sir, the only one I can think of is the one Elijah prayed, and he said, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years." I said, "You don't want that one, do you?" He said, "Is there an abbreviated version?" But don't miss James' point. You see, we might think, "Yeah, but that's Elijah. He's a prophet of God. Surely God's going to answer his prayers. Surely he gets through." But look at the phrase he uses in verse 17. "Elijah was a man with a nature like ours." So that's how the New American Standard Bible translates that. ESV, also the New King James. If you're using the King James, yours says Elijah was subject to the passion, to like passions as we are. Or the NIV, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. So James' point is, Elijah was a man just like us. He had passions like we have. He was a human being as we are. He has the same nature as us. So the same word is also used in Acts chapter 14. Remember when Paul and Barnabas were preaching, and the people of the city, seeing the signs they were doing, said, "The gods have come down to speak to us." And they said, "We are of men just like you are. Same nature, same passions." So I want you to think about that phrase, "just like us." When you think of your favorite character of the Bible, be it Old Testament, New Testament, men, women, whoever, they were just like us. We think of them being superheroes. Scriptures say they were just like us. And so, through the course of our time together, we're going to talk about people who were just like us. And maybe I took the alliteration too far, but I chose people whose names have the word "us" in them, just to remind us they're just like us. Barabbas, Bartimaeus, Barnabas, Judas, Justus. I want you to see these are people who are just like us. And they show for us what God wants from his people, the kind of heart. And they provide warnings of things we better stay away from, because we'll face the same dangers. But they are people just like us. And so for our first session, this one will be a little different as we introduce the theme. This one I want to talk about Emmanuel, God with us. So let's go to Matthew chapter 1, Matthew's Gospel chapter 1. And read about him. Matthew 1, verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Quote there from the prophet Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, that this Messiah, the promised one, the Son of God, would put on flesh and come to the earth, and he would become just like us. So I want us to consider Emmanuel, God with us. What does that mean? Well, the first thing we have to grasp about Emmanuel, God with us, is that number one, he was first with God. Now that's how John begins his gospel, isn't it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So don't think for a moment that just because he came to be with us, that means he removed all aspects of his deity. He was in the flesh, but he was God in the flesh. Before he was with us, he was with God. And so all of those statements that John makes, or John tells us that Jesus makes in his gospel, I am the bread of life, or I am the resurrection and the life. All seven of those are to connect Jesus with the Father. Now, as an illustration of this, think about when Jesus said in John chapter 8, he said, before Abraham was, I am. So I was writing my sermon outline, just typing away, and just put that quote into my outline. Before Abraham was, I am. And you know what Microsoft Word did? It underlined it. Said, you've got a grammatical error here. Either the subject and the verb don't agree, or we don't understand what this means. Well, we know for certain that the people who heard Jesus say, before Abraham was, I am, they understood what he was saying. And the reason we know that is the next verse says they picked up stones to stone him. They were going to kill him. Well, were they just the grammatic police? Were they just upset that he had used a sentence that didn't make... No, they understood he was saying, I am God. What was the name that God told Moses at the burning bush when he was to go and tell Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, let my people go, and anticipated the question, well, what's this God's name? We live in the midst of all these gods of Egypt, whether it be Osiris or Ra or Isis. What's the name of this God who's come to deliver his people? I don't know him. And the Lord said, you tell them, I am, has sent you. I am, illustrated in this burning bush that is not consumed by the fire. God is eternal. I am. And so when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, they were going to kill him for blasphemy because they didn't understand. He was first with
God.
And this God then came and put on flesh. That's the word incarnate. Now here we are in an election year, and everybody's running their campaigns. And I was reading in the Houston Chronicle before I came up about a politician who was warning the voting public about another politician. And he was saying, you better stay away from his platform because that man, he said, is Donald Trump incarnate. Well, I thought he was already in the flesh. You see, he was just saying he's the second, he's of his ilk or of his kind. That's not what Jesus did. God put on flesh. He dwelt among us. When we talk about Emmanuel, God with us, I want you to understand he was first with God. He gave up the glory of heaven to become just like us. Secondly, that means that this Emmanuel can sympathize with us. That's the point the Hebrew writer makes. Look over in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 at verse 14. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. We do not have a high priest, he said, who cannot sympathize with us, who feels with us. I suppose the button I press the most when I'm on the computer is undo. You ever use that button? I mean, you have all this keystrokes you've done and you've got off somewhere where you don't understand how to get back. Well, I'll just undo it. I'll start over. Have you ever wished that life came with an undo button? Where as soon as you said something, you could undo it, take the words back. Or a day that was just a disaster that I could just undo and start over. I want you to see about our high priest that he's been here. He understands. But did you notice he did all this yet without sin? Not one time did Jesus say, boy, I wish I hadn't said that. Man, I wish I could do today over. And for that reason, verse 16, let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Jesus understands what it's like to live in the flesh. He feels and sympathizes with us. And who better to go to for help than he who never sinned. Jesus carries with him the scars of humanity. Now, every scar has a story. Jesus' scars were the story of the cross. There, the Son of God cried tears and sweat as blood. He can sympathize with us. When you lose a loved one, Jesus knows what that feels like. When you're disappointed by people, Jesus understands. When you're so busy that you don't even have time to eat and all the stresses and pressures of life mount up against you, Jesus knows. He's just like us. He can sympathize with us. And then number three, about this Emmanuel, God with us. Remember, he was first with God, and he came to feel with us. And number three, he makes possible for us to be with God. God with us, so us can be with God. Let's look finally at Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, one of the sayings of Jesus on the cross that unfortunately has become just a battleground passage. But I want you to consider it in its context. Luke chapter 23, starting at verse 39. And one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuking him said, "Do you not even fear God, since you were under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." So first, both of the criminals were mocking Jesus, we're told in other gospel accounts. But somewhere along the way, one of them had a change of heart. He could see what was happening. And while his partner continued to hurl abuses, saying, "If you're the Christ, then why don't you save all three of us?" To which the other said, "Don't you see what's happening here? We're getting what we deserve. We've lived a life of crime and we're paying the punishment. This man has done nothing wrong." And so he recognized something about Jesus that even Jesus' own disciples had not put together yet. Jesus was dying, but this man knew there's still a kingdom that's going to come. Jesus' death is not going to be the end of his kingdom. And so he said, "Remember me, Jesus, when you come in your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." Do you see that's what Jesus wants to do? That's why he came for all of us, to bring us to God, that we can be with him. That just like he rose from death and entered glory, we can be just like him. We can follow where he's gone. We can be with God in eternity. Emmanuel, God with us. We were checking out at HEB, And I noticed our checker had a name tag. And it was Emmanuel. Now, he spelled his with an E. And, you know, I'm always looking for a good opportunity to embarrass my children. And so I said to him, "That's a good name." I said, "That's a Bible name. Do you know what that means?" And he went, "Oh, it's something like God is with us." Now, I didn't correct him, but I want you to see the difference. We understand God is on our side. He is there for us. He is with us when we go through the valley of the shadow of death. He is with us when we encounter various trials. But Emmanuel was not, "God is with us." It was God with us. He himself with us. We beheld his glory. We touched him. We saw him. We watched him. We heard him. And as a result, one day, we will be with him. And his tabernacle will be in the middle of ours. And we will see his face because we will have spent our lives to be just like him. Emmanuel, the great I Am, God with us. Our sister Charlie Couchman has written a hymn with that very title. I want to read these words, and then we'll have a final word of prayer. God incarnate, can it be? Ponder now the mystery. He, the fount of eternal life, must drink the cup of mortality. Emmanuel, God with us. Shepherds wonder at the scene, swaddling robes for deity. Heaven's throne, now a bed of straw within these borrowed stable walls. Emmanuel.